So this morning, we're, I guess it's advanced talking about love, bliss, and this spirit current and devotion. So I contemplated this. So I've come up with a. There's some parts of this presentation that are X-rated, and so I'm glad we're all adults here. So I'll tell you the title and the subtitles. Obviously we're gonna have a little fun with this. So the official title is Grace, Devotion, Love, Bliss, and the Divine Spirit Current. The subtitles are The Supreme Beloved is Juicy, and other subtitle is Juicy Doorways to and from the Divine. And final subtitle is I'm in love. Okay, so we're gonna start out with a little poll here. So how many people have experience some form of bliss or love bliss how many have experienced some short or long period of bliss, divine bliss? Okay, and
yes,
I'm
already lost.
So blessed out, he doesn't.
And then,
Adam's always helpless.
how many people have experienced some form of the spirit current, the spiritual energy, the Shakti, the life current? Okay. So everyone has basically experienced something like that. Okay. And then, how many would, say that at least part of them, there's some devotional orientation inside of them. Okay, so pretty strong, pretty high. All right.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Can we separate love bliss as well? Because I could put yes to love, but not to bliss.
Okay, thank you.
And again, the question of what is devotion exactly?
Yeah. I'm putting just broad terms, whatever,
Self-defined right now.
Yeah, self-defined at this point. Self-defined at this point. There, so I'll share, let's say, a perspective about it. Now, so I have to weave in my own personal story with this, because there was.
He likes bliss.
Doggy bliss. Doggy bliss.
Goddy bliss.
He was making all kinds of noise during the meditation.
Yeah, that was good.
Enjoying it.
I thought that was Alan.
My eyes were closed.
So I want to weave in. Let's say devotion and bliss just have had a it's had an evolutionary process for me, so I want to oh, it, it's so it's been a developmental process. So start out with another question, just a rhetorical question. So it's basically what is, like, as human beings, what is our favorite thing to happen in life? So I'm going to answer that. You don't have to answer that. So for most people, one way of looking at this, a favorite thing that we want to happen in life, if it hasn't happened already, we want to fall in love with the most wonderful person, and then we want to be happy together with that person for a long time. And that is maybe, one of the biggest happinesses for human beings. And of course, if we're honest adults, We want to have the best sex ever with that person. And ideally a lot of it. And be in love and happy and things go smoothly. And live happily ever after. Okay, so there's, in human beings, we're looking for happiness, love, and something, some pleasure, the highest pleasure, ecstasy, and, you know, something thrilling in life. And my theory is that we as divine incarnations, as embodiments, materializations of the very divine, that love, divine love, divine happiness, bliss or ecstasy, and full enlivenedness is just a part of a fabric of our being as divine and human beings. Because this is part of the fabric of existence and of the very divine, the whole, you know, supreme divine. And that's why we are driven to find that. And if we're lucky, we get to experience that through different forms. So that's, you know, this is what we're seeking for. We're driven to do that. And that's, I have to say that that's part of me. I am a bliss addict. Okay, I'll admit it. I'm Van, and I'm a bliss addict. And I'm also a love addict. When I had my second birth, back in August of 1995, I was driving across the Golden Gate Bridge. I'd just come back from a sitting, and the consciousness, the ground of transcendental awareness in which registers all phenomena was intensified. It was like on fire, so to speak. And everything, thoughts and sensations as I was driving, it was just like arising, registered, disappearing, transparent in consciousness. It was just blazing. And I was feeling high. And I was in this blissful state. And I was also experienced this, what I call centerless, uncaused love. My heart was bursting. Just there's this love, intense love arising. And I'm driving across the bridge and I'm going, wow. And I think the thought also passed, is this the second birth? And I was going, if this lasts till tomorrow morning, probably it is. But also was this feeling of impulse. It's like, I want to tell everyone about this, man. This is amazing. Something like that. And so here I am. I'm going to tell you about it. Now, after about, so that was in 1995. About 2000, life was kind of beige. Now share the other human side. I have trauma and wounding, and things are more healed, but I deal with obsessive compulsive disorder, fear of contamination from hazardous substances. I have a hoarding disorder, and I have, you know, among other things, fear of intimacy, you know, from trauma and wounding in my childhood. So this body mind, this personality has wounding, and so in 2000, you know, I'm in 5 years in the second life, and I'm working in the dental office. I have no girlfriend at that point, and life is kind of beige, and I'm with a scientific mind, I'm living in this three-dimensional physical world of molecules and atoms, and you know, I recognize it's arising in consciousness and phenomena, you know, and I'm not exclusive, I identify the body mind. But feeling bliss, and life is beige, kind of more neutral, you know. So I'm just painting a little poetically, colorfully. And then I wakened down a friend of mine, she's a teacher now, Jennifer Mayall, said, hey, calls me up and says, I have this the spiritual teacher friend, or the spiritual teacher I heard about, named David Sparrow, doing a sitting at my house. You know, want to come over? So I went over there. There were other Waking Up people there. And, you know, I interview people for their second life, so I'm sitting listening to them. discriminating. Okay, what's this guy's realization? How realized is this guy? I'm sitting there, okay, about halfway through the program, he says, don't listen to me, just feel me. Okay. So turn off discrimination, just open feeling. I'm sitting there. And then within about 5 minutes, I felt this blissfulness arise and intensify. I would call that love bliss now. And so back then I went into love swoon. I was just like in ecstasy and like drunk. And this happened so fast within, I think, 5 minutes. And it was so strong, it got my attention. And I was just like going, wow, I'm glad I opened in feeling. And I was just enjoying this. And I had no idea this is possible to experience that much bliss that fast. If you had told me like a month earlier that was possible, I'd say, you're wrong. No, that's impossible. Impossible. No, it cannot happen. And it did. It was happening. So I was enjoying that. And then in the following week and time after, I felt like I was in love. I'd be walking like, you know, because at lunchtime, I walk around my work, and it's mostly concrete with not many trees. So that's kind of ugly part of San Francisco. Yeah. Hey, look at that beautiful sidewalk, and there's a little piece of grass going through there. And look at that car. All those people, I look, are nice. Hey, yeah. I'm going, wow, I feel different. You know, so I was in love, but there was no particular focus. Like, I mean, object, woman, and for me, being heterosexually oriented. And I was going, wow, I'm feeling happy. And I was noticing I was feeling happier overall. So I'm kind of encapsulating and summarizing, but that got my attention. I'm going, whoa, what's happening to me? Wow, I didn't know this is possible. So when I had my second, during my second life period, early stage, I was going, well, how does love fit into this? Divine love, how does this fit into this? So now this is the beginning of a more active answer of that question. Now skip forward, let's say 2006, 2005, I was in this deep relationship, long distance relationship with a woman who lived out of state, and it was wonderful for about a year or so, and then this person sadly was an incest survivor, and things came to an ugly end where too much triggering was happening, and then this person ended the relationship. I was devastated. My heart was broken. Oh. And I was trying to be helpful to this person. And this triggered my rejection, core issues from childhood, rejection, abandonment. A lot of rejection, abandonment in my family growing up. So, And so I had to recover from this, and you know, I did some therapy and things like that to help somatic experiencing. Now, love bliss fits in here because, again, my mind was blown. I was feeling sad, obviously, very sad, at periods of waves of sadness, sometimes depressed. And so I was continuing to see David Sparrow, who you might say is a fully realized divine mother teacher. Now, he's a male, but he's like the divine mother, love, grace, bliss, that actually we all are, but some people are more concentrations of this, teacher who radiates and magnifies bliss and love and the full unity. But I was going to see him, so I was driving. One of the programs was up in Sebastopol. It's about an hour from San Francisco. So I'm driving, and I'm feeling sad and depressed driving up there. And I have 45 minutes to an hour to feel that. And, you know, my heart's broken. And so I get there, enter the yoga studio where this program is being held. And then I'm sitting there and meditating. There may be some little gazing, but meditating. And then within about 20 minutes, this love bliss intensifies again. And then there's this, what I would call love bliss intoxication or inebriation. And the sadness and depression like go to the background, and I'm just feeling this mild ecstasy. And again, I said, if you had told me that's possible, I'd say it's impossible. And then driving home, there's still some, continuation of this, and maybe after can vary, but maybe half an hour, it'll, you know, fade out. And then, but there's still, you know, some residues of this. But so I've had repeated experiences of this and things like this. And so this is something that I wanted to share, that this is part of the divine heart, the supreme heart that we talked about. Is it the heart, the supreme divine, and being devotionally oriented. Another title I give for the heart is the supreme beloved. And for me, being... Okay, so I'm 49% a discriminative sage. I'm 51% an ecstatic mystic. I'm a devotional ecstatic mystic. So I'm talking today more from the devotional ecstatic mystic. I'm going to be a little weird. But so the supreme beloved, the heart, the supreme heart, which has no sex, you might say it's he, capital he / capital she / capital I, T, you know, it. He, she, it. Some people are oriented to the masculine face of God, and some people are oriented to the feminine face of God. I am a being which relates to soul nature, which we're going to talk about tomorrow with Alan. I'd say my soul nature is oriented to the feminine face of God. And maybe I've done this for lifetimes. For me, I like to call the supreme beloved she. That's what resonates, turns me on. That's what I resonate with. So it has, you know, there is no gender to the supreme divine. But for me, as with my devotional mystical bent, I like to call it the supreme divine she, the supreme beloved. So I'm going to indulge in that. And if whatever the supreme divine is for you that turns you on and is juicy, this is how to get juicy with the supreme divine. That's the title of the talk. So whatever makes it juicy for you, do that. I'm just sharing what's juicy for me, as you know, to give doorways to that and inspiration for that. Time is flitting by here.
Dog gets it.
He totally does.
Totally gets it.
Definitely supreme bliss over there.
Okay, so the reason for me I'm devotional to what I would call, and you know, another term is the Divine Mother, the She. And for me, as the Supreme Divine, the Supreme Beloved, I would call that the Supreme Divine Mother. So let me give you my perspective. Again, there's no gender, no words. Words fail in terms of describing the ineffable. But let's just talk about, as human beings, if we're lucky to have a loving mother and loving father, and again, there could be no gender. You know, maybe the father's the loving mother. But the mother, that's where the sweetness comes from. And the loving embrace, the unconditional love, hugs, and we're all I didn't have a loving mother, so I'm also hungry for the loving mother. And you could say, so the divine mother, leaning in the divine mother direction, because let's say the divine mother and divine father are married, if we're to talk about gender, but leaning in the divine mother direction, there's divine magic and grace from the Supreme Heart. That's part of the Supreme Heart. So the G word, grace. This is mysterious, but it's the magic and blessing of the Supreme Divine, the Supreme Beloved. And that is actually what awakens us. So the sweetness of the mother, the divine love, divine beauty, and divine intimacy, where you feel cozy with the divine, the supreme divine. Now, before having more access to it, the supreme divine felt more impersonal, more remote. Life was drier, not juicy. With more connection with grace, the love, bliss, the Shakti current, and the magic and blessing of the Supreme Beloved, life is juicier, and there's greater being happy for no reason. And the love bliss, I would say it comes in waves. So at this point in my process, it has a life of its own. Sometimes it may be a daily thing, sometimes not, but sometimes it'll come. Like about a week ago, I was driving to work and I was feeling this intensification of love bliss. And I walked in the dental office, usually where it shrinks down, and it was continuing. Fortunately, the first person I was seeing was a waking down person, and I could share some, hey, I'm feeling some love bliss now. and I could work. So it lasts about 2 or 3 hours. And I was going, this is far out. And I didn't know this, you know, this. So it comes in waves and then maybe it subsides. So,
are you able to focus and do your job when you're...
Yeah, I have the capacity to do that, do my job and be in bliss. Okay, now I'm going to paint a picture of where bliss comes from. So now you have the heart, the Supreme Heart. And another, so let's, you know, I'm drawing an oval. Okay, so the heart or the supreme absolute or supreme absolute being or the supreme beloved. Okay, so that is actually all of existence, the totality, an ineffable, undescribable. We can't actually experience that. It's everything, unmanifest, manifest. It's so total, so complete, everything all. A single point of view can't experience that. So this is a different version of what the chart we put up yesterday. So there's three capital Q qualities that we can experience. So you got the oval. So one quality you could call the supreme emptiness or silence. That's the absolute space of consciousness. That's emptiness, silence, space, non-duality. And there's this absolute space and a supreme emptiness that holds everything just like water, pure water. Then there's what I would call supreme feeling, which includes supreme love, bliss, ecstasy, devotional rapture, like unconditional absolute feeling. Absolute space, everything is embraced, felt. It's the heart of existence. Then you have third quality that we can experience is the spirit current, the life current, the Shakti, Kundalini Shakti. Now, one model of this is, you know, microcosm and macrocosm. So we have the human body. So for me, at my level, I'm weaving a lot of things together here, in more advanced second life or more advanced heart realization, the absolute and relative, in second birth, we recognize that they're actually paradoxically married together. And then as we advance, and this is, we could add in the white heat discussion, you might say, the marriage of the absolute and relative intensify. And then it's revealed in advanced stages of realization that the absolute and relative are coincident. So that there's only one absolute or only one supreme heart. There's only one supreme divine that's simultaneously unmanifested and or transcendental and simultaneously manifested in subtle and gross form. So it's all a totality, and that's my big fancy word that I said yesterday, the supreme, unconditional, all-inclusive, unity simultaneity. So you could say that love and consciousness, supreme love and supreme emptiness, are actually married together in a unity simultaneity. And so in leaning towards bliss is part of this supreme feeling category, and then the supreme emptiness, the supreme feeling, supreme love, supreme divine energy, it's all coalesced, materialized into supreme substance or sacred matter. This is it, here, now, us, everyone. That's why it's all inclusive. Everyone is this. And that's why we get, we do something and we feel happy or blissful or in love or may feel energy, is because we are this in materialization. So bliss is a part of the fabric of our being, this and who we are as divine and human beings. Let's put it another way. We're human and divine beings. So it's just part of our nature. Okay, so that's where bliss comes from. Okay. So I said some of these qualities, but let me say this again. So what our favorite thing is to be in love, because that is at the heart of our being. Okay, so I was going to say that the model. So like the human body, we have the body, the heart, and the blood circulating. You might think of this unity simultaneity as supreme consciousness, transcendental awareness. Is like the term we use to wake down is the fundamental ground of being. And then the heart is the center of the body. So you could call it divine love as the heart of the the divine body. So consciousness is the ground, the body. Divine love, bliss is the heart. And the Shakti energy is the energy living the body. So that's the energy, divine energy, living, enlivening the whole, all of existence. So that's like the juice and energy system of the body. And so that's where, to me, in a more advanced stage of heart realization, there, it's more unity simultaneity rather than, oh, there's consciousness here, there's divine love here, and Shakti there. It's all, they all arise out of one source condition and are more unity simultaneity. The other thing I'll say, which is controversial, and my feeling, I'm not alone in this, consciousness has been favored in Eastern spirituality as the prior, most primary, let's say, ground of the divine. And consciousness has been favored as what's primary, and their teachings where the Shakti, Shiva is the senior principal and Shakti is junior. Okay, so I disagree with that, I'm sorry. That's just me. But there's been years, thousands of years of that orientation. But so at least I'd say, okay, Shiva and Shakti, they're married and they're equal partners. And then I'd even say they're so married that they're coincident, more unity, simultaneity. And but at the heart, because the heart, that's the heart of the body. For me, love and grace are the heart of existence. And this is because I'm a devotional mystic, and that's my orientation. So that's about 30 minutes, but I had to bring in the X-rated part of this before I finish, so if you might indulge me just another minute.
No doubt we will for that.
Well, okay, so let's, you know, in the juicy thing, what in human relationships, good sex usually equals wonderful orgasm.
I guess Bo agrees.
Bo agrees, and he would know. Speaking in it from a devotional perspective, and there's this wonderful word, divine communion. So one way of describing that is I as the devoted person am communing with the Supreme Beloved, the Supreme Heart, the Supreme Divine. And with the grace of realization, then the communion can deepen, and there could be, I can let the personal self dissolve and merge and then and fuse and then enter into a communion that becomes unity with the Supreme Beloved and let myself temporarily dissolve in that. And with that comes love, bliss, and ecstasy. Now, it's also interesting that one of the values of love, bliss, and the luscious Shakti current that is also could have an enlivening, ecstatic feeling, is it points to this universal field that's the source, and by relaxing the body, mind, and going in communion and surrendering further, relaxing, the bliss intensifies. Mm-hmm. So there's rewards for communion and merging and dissolving. And this is a temporary, you know, dissolving, and I will come back. So then I dissolve and then merge, unity, bliss, ecstatic bliss magnifies, love, Shakti, delicious current, and just melting into that. And this is tantric communion, a cosmic tantric communion, Van and the Beloved, now one, ecstasy, communion, consummation, a being consumed by the divine, it's a, you know, tantric consummation. It's cosmic sex. And then, okay, woo, baby, okay, now I gotta return back to being a coalesce and being okay. Woo, that was good.
Smoke a cigarette?
Woo, yeah, okay. I want more of that. and that's to me, one version, you know, at the heart of Tantra, and so that's why, or you know, that this is what happens when you're a devotional ecstatic mystic, and that's why I'm weird like this, and I want to share, you know, this. Everyone will find their own doorways for this, but I want to share. These are some possibilities, and you'll find your own sources of grace and transmission that speak to you, but the heart, the Supreme Heart, is juicy, luscious. You know, there's divine beauty, sublimity, magic, grace, and I call it adorational consciousness. And you know, the part of this is bliss consciousness, and you know, devotional rapture. But as that's the orientation of a devotional person is adorational consciousness. And then I look out here and then I see the divine beloved, divine mother materialized in you as this, as all of us. It's all inclusive, everyone is that. And then there's an enjoyment and love and even, you know, waves of mild ecstasy that come from abiding in that and having that, the gift of grace of this vision. And this is all a gift of grace. You know, the personal self can't, like, you know, turn some dial and make all this happen, but there's a cooperation with it, just as, you know, a lover, you open your feeling and your heart and you open in communion. So I'm very excited to share about this, and so thank you very much for, you know, feeling into this with me, and, you know, I wish grace and magic and happiness for all of us.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I think the one thing that you said that was really beautiful, a couple of days ago, when we were planning the retreat, you said about the purpose, what you would hope that people could leave with, and that is knowing themselves as that, not only what you're accustomed to and the down. I mean, the down is actually this as well. It's both, it's waking and down. So it's the down, we identify the down, and so much in waking down, one of the things that I think really frustrates me is that people just need to expand. Okay, I'm not only cut off from all my pain and trauma, I'm also cut off from this. And so that's our hope for this weekend, is that you'll be able to tap into these aspects of yourself that maybe you don't have so much access to, and that you'll actually leave here being able to access that more and more and more and more. Yeah?
Is
that a nutshell what you said?
Yeah, and we are that.
And we are
that. So it's just a matter of accessing
what is there.
Yeah. Part of the fabric of existence.
You know, I always have this little voice that's always like, it's very subtle, but I'm good at catching it now. That's always going on. Just like, yeah, but you're not going to get that. You know, you're the one.
It won't happen, like, for you,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah. There's something especially wrong with you, that where you, everyone else will get this, or other people will get this, but you'll be the, and I know this, you know, a lot of people express the same thing. It's like this little, but yeah, I don't know. I sort of believe it, I guess, a little bit, you know. Yeah.
Well, I my mystical answer would be, with divine grace, there's nothing to deserve, and it's, this is like who we are as human and divine beings. We're actually, you, me, each of us, you know, a materialization, a manifestation of the supreme divine heart in a material form. We're all God in flesh form. And we're going to do later on this morning after the break an exercise where we're going to see each other as the divine in flesh form. And we'll just have a short exercise where we can enjoy that. But it's divine grace. And so whatever your mind believes, thank you, mind. Thank you for sharing. You may sit down. You know, acknowledge it. Those feelings are real.
Yeah.
You don't have to suppress it.
Yeah.
But everyone has had that feeling, about had that thought about second birth,
yeah,
including myself. And so, and it's with grace, divine grace, this divine magic will happen. It have its own organic time. But then you want to have faith in your process and grace, and what needs to be revealed will be revealed for your, you know, full awakening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one question, the white hot thing. This just like seems like a marketing gimmick. You know, what?
Well, I don't use that term as much. I just say it's a further intensification of the marriage of Shiva and Shakti, or the absolute and relative. That marriage intensifies, your experience of that intensifies. And for me, then it becomes a supreme unity simultaneity. Now, you know, 30 seconds, I have a theory that there's two heats, the white heat and the pink heat. There's more the divine masculine white heat, where the consciousness more magnifies, and there's more transcendence. This is very simplified. And then there's the pink heat, which is more divine, feminine, mother-oriented, where you see everything as the very divine. The divine, there's a divinization of matter. And everything, everywhere, it's the divine. And I call it, a friend gave that nickname, the pink heat. Mm. So, but that's where the absolute and relative that are, become more and more married than you recognize they're coincident. So there is, the divine is fully here in this material form. Mm. So that's the 30 second.
Yeah.
Quick, we should take a break.